life of the soul winner. Okay, so let's look at these positive results. Obviously, there's positive results for sharing the gospel for the person that needs to hear it. There's the receiving of the good news, the possibility, at least the opportunity to be saved. But what does it do for us as a soul winner? While we're here on earth, it helps me achieve my ultimate goal of being like Jesus. And folks, listen to me. There's no way in the world that we can say that we are like Christ in this important area unless we're doing what he did while he was here. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It rids me of the guilt from withholding that withholding the gospel brings. I love this. Awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I sit there, look back there and see Joseph and Mary this morning, and I think of John Barnes, who's just kind of, John is just a Sunday morning when the buses run kind of guy, gets here, and yet faithful to go pick up gospel tracts and faithful to just leave them out, lay them out. And folks, you know what? It works. It really does work. And you know, the thing about it is, whether it works or not, it's a command. You know, I think there's a lot of different ways that God blesses soul winning and a soul winning church if we're just obedient. And so it rids me of the guilt of that withholding the gospel brings. Number three, it allows me to experience, we taught this lesson, allows me to experience the greatest level of joy available to the Christian. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I think soul winning, number four, puts everything in life and proper perspective, and it is easy. I was just talking to a young couple yesterday, and they came up to me in the she's in the mommy years, you know, got the little kids and stair step, and he's in the we're trying to get our feet on the ground and build a foundation. And they just came up to me and said, Brother Roscoe, we just talked. I was actually speaking at a youth conference in Iowa yesterday, and finished up about 3 o'clock, and then drove back home. And they just said, could you help us with this time in our life? It just seems like we're half the time we're holding on for dear life, and we're trying to figure it all out and get our act together. And just give us some, could you give us some advice? And I talked to them about the importance of keeping your priorities straight. And I said, the way that you do that is you have to live by schedule. You have to, and I just talked to them. I said, I know everybody wants some big secret spiritual answer, but I said, if you don't plan to do things, you won't do things. And the way to keep things in balance, the proper balance between doing things with your family and serving the Lord with your family and all the responsibilities that you need to do with church and everything else, is you have to live on purpose. And so, you know what? Soul winning does, it just helps me to keep everything else in perspective and to not allow myself to get so busy with all of the things. You know, folks, you've heard me say this, but the least important things are the loudest things. The least important things are the things that seem like they demand and scream for your attention. And the most important things are the things that are quiet. And they're not usually going to demand your attention. You know, I got up this morning, you know what? My King James Bible laying on the coffee table, if I walk past it, it's not going to scream out, hey, don't forget to read me. It's just going to lay there. You know, and so, you know, the thing is, you have to do is you have to, listen, if you're living by pressure, then you're probably not living with the right priorities. You have to live by principle, not pressure, okay? And a lot of times people will put pressure on you and people will try to come and dump things on you that's really not your responsibility. And sometimes you just have to say, stop, nope, sorry, nope. You know, and so be willing, serve the Lord, but also be careful of trying to keep your right life in proper balance. Then number five, it motivates me to maintain a proper testimony in the community. And you know, if you're involved in soul winning, one of the things you've got to, it helps you, is you've got to have the right kind of testimony, because your life needs to line up with what you're trying to do. I don't think the world expects us to be perfect, but I do think they expect us to be consistent. And so what we need to do is strive for consistency. Now let's talk about heaven. Preacher, when I get to heaven, what's five things soul winning, positive things that soul winning is going to do for me in heaven? Well, I want to start by just telling you this. If you're a soul winner on earth, you're going to be happy when you get to heaven that you took the time to be a soul winner on earth. I promise you that. We read in First Thessalonians, I have you turn to chapter number 2 there, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And we see the mention of the crown of rejoicing. Five things soul winning does for me in heaven. Soul winning on earth allows me to be eligible to receive the soul winner's crown in heaven. You know, I'm just doing a study on this. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach one of the series on heaven sermons that we're going to hit. I'm going to probably preach on a Sunday morning on crowns in heaven, crowns in heaven. This morning, Lord willing, we're going to preach on the throne in heaven, but we're going to preach on crowns in heaven. There's five different crowns that we can win as soul winners. And those crowns will be presented to us at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about the judgment seat that is for Christians. And folks, that is where we will either receive rewards because of what we did here on earth or suffer the loss of those rewards. The judgment seat is not to determine whether or not you go to heaven or hell. That's decided the day you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But it is will be a reward ceremony, if you'll let me say this. And one of the things that will be passed out is crowns. Why, preacher, do you want to win a crown? Because at the end of that ceremony, at the end of that time, we're going to be able to take those crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus. I don't want to stand there and watch everybody else cast something at Jesus' feet and stand there empty-handed. And so I can't win maybe all of the crowns, but here's a crown everybody could win. And it's a crown of, we call it the soul winner's crown or the crown of rejoicing. Paul is writing to his converts and he says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And so being faithful in this matter of soul winning, being faithful in this matter of sowing and watering, and then when God gives you opportunity to be able to reap and win people to Christ, you're going to be glad you passed out those gospel tracts. You're going to be glad you stayed on that bus route. You're going to be glad that you joined Operation Occupation. You're going to be glad that you took the time to go out there and just fit it into your schedule. You say, preacher, we live a crazy upside down, so busy. Our life is, yes, I know, I get all of that. But listen, take the time. You're going to be glad one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, what does it do for me in heaven? It soul winning on earth eliminates the embarrassment of showing up to heaven alone. I already quoted this. Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And you know, folks, one of the blessings of going out and consistently soul winning and doing that is that the Lord does allow you from time to time to win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think that the person that sows gets some of the reward for that person that's eventually saved. I think the person that waters gets some of the reward of that person that's eventually saved. I think the person that actually gets to win the person to Christ gets some of the reward. Hey, you know what? When a bus kid comes and they get saved in junior church, I want to tell you this. The bus driver that drove the bus is going to get part of the reward of that soul being saved. And the bus worker that signed up that kid is going to get some of the reward. And the bus captain that led that program and the lady bus worker that wrote their name down and made them feel welcome on the bus. And you know what, folks, listen to me. It's not just the people working on the bus. The Sunday school teacher who had their lesson ready and taught that child and sowed some seed. I mean this. I think everybody that stands in the foyer and just makes an extra effort to make the kids feel welcome and make them feel loved and accepted in this place. Listen, this is why I want to be a part of many different things as I can be a part of. I'm not looking to get out of stuff. I'm looking to get into stuff because I feel like even in a small way, if I can contribute to any and all of the ministries that go on here, you know what? It sure is going to make heaven sweeter for each and every one of us. I don't want to stand there alone. I don't want to stand there at the judgment seat of Christ and Jesus say, listen, you know, I gave, you got saved at 5 years of age and I gave you I know I'm going to get 59 years. I know I'm going to live to 59. Hey, some of you young ones, you don't know that, but I know that. I know for sure I'm going to live to 59. But wait a minute, with that came a responsibility. You know, so sometimes I can say, well, I've been saved. Good night, I've been saved for 54 years. And well, it's, well, wow. Well, what do you got to show for it? What do you got to show for it? Wouldn't it be a sad thing to be saved and then to live your life as a Christian and then stand there looking at Jesus Christ and have nobody that you are, have influenced for heaven, nobody that you've won to Christ? And so, you know, that's a motivation for me. That's one of the things that keeps me out there going after it. Because, listen, the Bible gives me a promise. I love these promises in the Bible. I like those two little words, shall doubtless come again. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. I like guarantees, okay? And so I just hang on to this promise and say, Lord, you know what? The Bible says, if I'll be faithful in this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So stay after it, folks. You're going to be glad. You know, let me say this. You're going to be glad you gave to missions. You're going to be glad you gave to missions. I've said this a couple times recently, but the ministry, single ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church produces the most souls for heaven is our worldwide missions program. And don't sit on the sideline and don't be involved in that. Well, preacher, I give to our tithe and we try to give a little extra, but we just can't give to everything. And so we've not just been involved in missions. Oh, you're missing out. I mean it, you're missing out. I don't care if you start small, just start small. I'd have a part of it. One of the delights of one of the responsibilities that I could have somebody else do. And I've had other people do it in the past, but you know what? I want those missionary letters landed on my desk. Every single missionary letter I open with my own hand right here. And I read it before anybody reads it. And then, you know, I do. I go back there and I post those letters. And I just put my hands on them as I'm posting them. And I pray for those missionaries. You know, giving to missions, praying for missions. You know, we're going to start kicking off in September in earnest, starting to raise money for this new church plant down here. Folks, listen to me. I go down there and I see what God's done in Princeton, Indiana, and I'm glad for every sacrificial gift me and my wife gave to get that church started, get it off the ground, and get it going. And now we get to do another one, and I'm so excited to do it now. I mean, more excited. I'm not less excited. Richard, you know what, though? But don't you see in the uncertainty of the world? And I think the Lord looks down at a little church like Blessed Hope and says, they're just crazy enough to keep pushing forward no matter what. And just, you know what? This isn't the time to circle the wagons. This isn't the time to do less. This isn't the time to surrender. This is the time to push forward. And so I'm excited about this. We'll be able to right in the middle of when a lot of churches, you know, are pulling the plug on ministries and cutting back on missions giving and postponing things. Let's just go forward. Let's just trust God. And let's watch God do the miraculous at a time where I think it would be good for the rest of the world and our community to see that. So eliminates the embarrassment of showing up alone at the judgment seat. Now, let me have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you this next one. Because I've taught this from time to time, and I think that I'm going to take the Bible, and if you don't believe it, I'm going to let the Bible convince you. But I think that there's something we need to be aware of. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, say, preacher, what does soul winning on earth do for me in heaven? Soul winning on earth alters the design and illumination of my glorified body. I believe this alters the design and illumination of my glorified body. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. Chapter 15, verse number 35. There we go. I'm going to turn the page here. There it is. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Now, the reason they ask that is they're saying to themselves, okay, you know what? There's been people that we know that was buried 100 years ago. There was people that we know that were buried at sea, okay? They ate fish food, okay? One of the things I'm going to talk about when we talk about the thrones in heaven is the Bible talks about the great white throne. You know what? The Bible says God's going to gather everyone. They're all going to be there. And no matter, you know, listen, I've had questions recently about organ donation. You know, should a Christian be involved in that? Well, I think the guy that's accepting my heart, if he gets it, first of all, I'm not sure he's going to want any of my parts, honestly, but I've worn him out pretty good. But, you know, it might be good for him to just make sure he is saved, because the rapture happens. I'm not sure all that's going to happen with that, you know. So somebody gets my eyeball, there it goes. I don't know how all that's going to work. I don't really worry about it, to be honest with you. But, this is what people in the days of Paul would say. He would, some men will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? And they've gone to dust, or they were devoured, or they were eaten, or they were burnt, or they were whatever. Listen, folks, if God can speak and create the worlds, there's nothing too hard for God. And I promise you, with one word of the Lord, everything that needs to be brought together will be brought together, and everything will be fine. But the Bible's talking about this body that we're going to have in heaven. How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, this is what's spectacular when we study this glorified body, is that, you know, one of the best illustrations is you've got a little kernel of corn, you know, that most of us tilled up a garden and planted that, you know, hard, wrinkled thing that looks like it's dead and has no life in it. And yet God says, you know what, it's not going to quicken until you bury it. It's not going to quicken until it dies. But, you know, one of the most amazing things that a person can see is to go out there with your own hands, plant a garden, put that thing in the ground, and just take a picture of it, and then put it in the ground. And then 3 or 4 months later, you're standing beside a stalk of corn that's this tall, and it's bearing fruit, and it's alive, and you think, how in the world? We have a great God. And I think when we see our glorified body, we're trying to somehow visualize it in comparison to our earthly body. And I believe our glorified body is going to be so spectacularly different from our earthly body that we're going to look at that little seed and then think about that stalk of corn and say, well, God told us that. You know, I don't know what we were thinking, but this is amazing. And so he says in verse 38, but God hath given it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed, watch this, his own body. So every seed his own body. So it doesn't mean everybody's body is going to be the same. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, you go to any section of God's creation and you see a variety of different bodies. He said, when you get to heaven, this whole thing that's just going to be a bunch of cookie cutter, everybody's going to be look the same, everybody's going to appear the same, everybody's going to be the same, everybody's going to have the same type of body with the same type of abilities. I don't believe it. I believe God is saying there are certain things that I will reward for all eternity. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. We know that it's going to be incorruptible. All the bodies will be. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And then I oftentimes will read with this Daniel chapter 12. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And the Bible says, look up at the stars. They're not all equal in glory. You can go out and you can see a very bright star, and you can see one that you barely flickers through the darkness. And sometimes, is it there? Is it not there? And you know, folks, listen, I'll take motivation anywhere I can get motivation. because this old flesh a lot of times doesn't want to do what God's called it to do. Okay, it wants to be lazy on Saturday. It doesn't want to go out and knock those extra doors. It doesn't want to get out on that bus route when it's 90 degrees and the humidity is 110%. And it doesn't, a lot of our flesh don't. You know what God's done? I think He's stockpiled in the Bible reasons and motivation to keep us wanting to get out there and do the right thing. And so, you know what? One of the things that keeps me going and gets me out and makes me do some things where it would honestly be easier for me to stay home is this idea of I want God to be pleased. I want one of these days. I don't want to stand there empty-handed. I don't want God to say, well, this is the glorified body that you've earned, and walk around with all eternity as a testimony that, yeah, I got here. By God's grace, I got here. By the skin of my teeth, I got here. Thank God I got here. Well, I ain't going to care as long as I get there. I think you'll care. You know, and so it alters the design and illumination of my glorified body. Number four, it sweetens. Sowing in on earth sweetens an eternity spent fellowshipping with the servants of God. Okay, let me have you go to Hebrews chapter 12. Because we're going to spend all eternity with all the other saints of God. And think about the fellowship that we'll enjoy. Have you ever had this thought? Boy, we need to be able to go and talk to Paul. It'd be neat to go over and talk to Daniel. It'll be neat. I don't know. Is it going to be that neat? Because you know what? At some point, you're going to want to hear their stories. And then they're going to finally say, okay, I'll tell you what it was like. And then they're going to turn around and say, well, tell me your stories. Tell me what you did for the Lord. I'm not sure we may be chasing down some of the people we think we're going to be chasing down. When we realize it's a two-way conversation. Okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is, again, a motivation for us while we're here on earth. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, who are they talking about? They're talking about all of these folks that were listed in Hebrews chapter number 11. The faith walkers. I started teaching on faith walkers Wednesday night. I mean, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and all these others that are listed heroes of the faith. Wherefore, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, they've run their race. They're done. They're up in the grandstands of eternity. Every once in a while, it's good for us to just tune out all that we hear in the world and try to listen for those things that you can only hear through the help of the Spirit of God. You know, I think that there's a generation of Christians, many generations of Christians. I'm talking about preachers and Christians that suffered great persecution, died for the cause of Christ. I'm talking about those that crisscrossed America in the early days and God used to ignite the Great Awakening. And, you know, I think that they're right now on their feet rooting for this generation of Christians right now. They see that we're facing some things that they never had to face, and they, I think, can see by and from a clearer perspective than we can, how close we are to the coming of Christ. And I think right now they're standing to their feet and they're saying, you know, hey, you're on the home stretch. Don't quit now. Don't quit now, church. Keep going, keep going. Keep going after souls. Keep knocking on doors. Keep doing what you're doing. Sweetens an eternity spent fellowshipping with obedient servants of God. I do want to talk to some men. I want to talk to some Christian women that spent their life on the mission field and spent their life. And I understand it's not God's will for everybody to be a missionary and go to a foreign country. I should say it that way, go to a foreign country. But I do believe it's God's will for everybody to be a missionary. And you know what? I don't want to talk to a missionary and then him say, well, what did you do? Well, you know what? I was a missionary too. I just wasn't, God didn't call me to go to a separate country. God called me to be a missionary and out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A missionary in my workplace, a missionary in my neighborhood, a missionary in my family, reaching my family for Christ. And every opportunity that God gave me, I want to have something to talk about when I'm in heaven. I listen, they have some of these testimony meetings and some of them get around and they're telling their stories. I don't want to sit there, my I don't know if your white robe has pockets in it or not, but I don't want to sit there with my hands in my pocket looking at the ground thinking hopefully nobody will ask me about what I did or didn't do for the Lord. And so just be faithful, folks. It's not that I expect you or you ought to expect yourself to measure up to a D.L. Moody or whatever like that, because you weren't called to do what D.L. Moody was called to do. But you know what? To whom much is given, much shall be required. And, you know, you may not be that five-talent Christian, you know, that God gave that level of responsibility. You may be a two-talent. You may be a one-talent. And you know what? You're going to receive the same reward by doing what you did with what God gave you to do. So be faithful in it, okay? Be faithful in whatever it is. Sometimes people say, Pastor, are you a five-talent Christian? I said, no, I'm a two-talent guy that instead of bringing four is trying to bring five. That's the best description. You say, oh, yeah, but you can do it. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I've met five-talent Christians. I'm not a five-talent Christian. And kind of glad, to be honest with you, that's a lot of pressure, man. But I'll take what God's given me, and I don't want to just double it. If I could get by with tripling it, I'm going to do it. And so you know what I do? I just keep looking at it every way. I say this a lot of times in my mind. How can we take something to the next level? What can I do? What can I do better? What can I do different? If I put work into this, how can I take it from accomplishing this level, and how do I get it to accomplish this level? And folks, it ought to be in each of our hearts to make more and more of an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I can't evaluate where you live. I don't live your life. But God's given you a unique life and a unique background and a unique opportunities, and you have your circle of influence and the people that you can reach that I'll never know, I'll never see. And so listen, just don't worry about comparing yourselves among yourselves. Don't worry about what everybody is or isn't doing. Take a look at your life and say, Lord, how can I increase the impact that I'm having for the Lord Jesus Christ with the time that you've allotted me, with the talents that you've given me, with the areas of influence how can I increase my, because I'll tell you, one of these days when we get to heaven, you're going to be glad that you did. And let me finish up with number five. Soul winning here on earth increases the likelihood of hearing from God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I just mentioned that about the talents. Let me read that parable to you. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. The one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received the two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. So he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Exact same wordage with the five that brought the ten and the two that brought the four. And I don't want you to be discouraged. Don't compare yourself among yourselves. You know, sometimes I'll get out and I'll preach out a little bit. I may walk into a church where a guy is pastoring 1,500 or 2,000 people, and he's in a larger area, the bigger population. And if I'm not careful, I can walk away and go, oh, man, I'm just not doing enough for the Lord. And sometimes God will come, sit on my shoulder and say, I didn't call you to a big city. I called you to Jacksonville, Indiana. Be faithful to what I've called you to do, where I've called you to do. You know, we have all over this country, we have men that are pastoring in small little hamlets and small little towns. And you know what? They don't have giant populations. They don't pastor big churches. But I'm telling you what, they are out there visiting the hospitals and checking on sick people. And I tell them every community needs somebody to do the marrying and the burying and to be there with hurting folks and to be faithful and to knock doors and to win people to Christ and just make themselves available every day. But it's not just that every one of these communities needs those preachers. They need the Christians in that community that go out and rub shoulders with the real world every single day and just have those chances, those opportunities to just speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, to have some influence, to show some kindness to somebody that's going through a tough time. And listen, folks, your Christian testimony is going to be more empowered as you look for opportunities to just help people. So a lot of times it's our good works that allows later on to glorify our Father, which is in heaven, point people to Jesus. Just look for opportunity. Look for that person who's going through a tough time. Look for that family that's struggling a little bit. Look for that, you know, keep your eyes open. I mean, you know, one of the things that we've really got to remind ourselves to do is to see our world through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just getting from point A to point B, and here's my to-do list, and here's the things I got to accomplish, and, you know, next thing you know, projects become more important than people. And I realize we all have projects that we need to accomplish, but people ought to always trump projects. And in the course of completing projects, don't run past people, because you just don't know. You just don't know who that person is. You just don't know. You know, I believe God orchestrates things. I believe when I pull up to a gas pump that God has timed my life out so that there's a great opportunity that the other people near me, God has worked to see that they pulled in at the same time. Am I going to miss an opportunity to speak to them about the Lord, to hand them a gospel tract? I went to Casey's about 2 weeks ago, and there was a guy that pulled up. I actually pulled up, and he was finishing up. And it was early on a Sunday morning, and he was dressed like in work clothes. And he started to get in his car, and he looked at me, and he's like, "You're going to church, I'll bet." And I said, "Yeah." And he kind of looked all guilty, and he said, "I got to work on Sunday." And he said, "So I don't get to go to church that often." So I pulled a packet out of my truck, and I handed it to him, spent some time talking to him about the Lord. And he's got a church background, but I don't really think he had a clear understanding of salvation. He took the packet, and he said to me, "Well, I got to get to work, but," he said, "I'll look at this." And he said, "I'd love to come visit you sometime." I said, you got to. Well, it was crazy, because 2 weeks later of an evening, I pulled into the same Casey's, and he pulled up beside me again. And I said, "Hey, you remember me?" And he said, I wasn't dressed in a suit. And he kind of looked at me up and down. "Oh, yeah, I do remember you. Yeah, you gave me that packet." He said, "I talked to my girlfriend about your church. And the next Sunday I have off, we're going to come. I don't know. Hopefully it wasn't the last 2 weeks. Oh, man, I was so discouraged. Was it, Brother Young, you were here. The first Sunday that we went to live stream, I was sitting at the back, and we were kind of waiting for the time to hit, and a car pulls up, and a new couple that just visited, that just moved to the area, came up to the front door. I got to open the front door and talk to them about church. I said, "You got to promise me you'll come back and visit when we're having church again. Sorry, COVID breakout in Lesson Hope." But, you know, just put it out there, folks. Just talk to people. Just look for opportunities. Just stop somebody. Well, what are they going to do? You know, the spirit of fear, folks. Spirit of fear is going to keep you from accomplishing. You're going to stand in heaven, look around and say, "What was I afraid of? What was I afraid of?" I mean, don't let the spirit of fear stop you. I mean, generally people are pretty open. Let me say this, folks. As a general rule, people are pretty nice. You know, even if they're not interested, they're usually not that mean. You know, every once in a while, there's a jerk. Yes, there is. But, you know, I think that's to test us sometimes. See whether or not we're willing to do the hard thing sometime. Will we witness to the next person if somebody's mean to us? So anyway, hey, I'm just going to spend my life. I signed up for a long time ago. I mean, a long time ago. I just signed up for this life of a soul winner. Just signed up for it. And I'm not quitting it. You know, maybe there'll be a day when I can't preach it behind a pulpit, but I don't think there'll ever be a day where I can hopefully don't at least be able to pass somebody a track, be able to say something, give somebody a good word about the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bless our time, dear God, and help this these series of lessons on soul winning to be, Lord, something that inspires us and helps us, Lord. And I realize with all of the different things that are going on, we've had to maybe adjust now and again some of the ways and a little bit of the interaction. But Lord, help us not to buy into this, well, it's a new America, Lord. I like the old one. I just pray, Lord, you get us back to doing the things that we ought to do and not to have a spirit of fear, not be afraid of people, and to be willing to smile and to be willing to interact and be willing to talk to folks about the Lord. Just give us boldness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.